Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello, with me is Dan Lee. He is a writer in residence at Red Stitch Actors Theatre in Melbourne, Australia. He is a playwright who has written Grey Nomad, produced by the Australian Theatre Company, and playing in Los Angeles, California, the USA, at the Skylight Theatre. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you.
You've traveled across some oceans to come and have us learn a little bit about Australia and relationships and people in retirement. I've just had a delightful time listening, watching your play. Why do you call these retirees who travel around the continent of Australia nomads? I think in the United States we call them snowbirds who go from the winter area down into the warm deserts in the wintertime.
In Australia, they actually, a lot of them are permanently traveling, but I'm not sure if that's as big here. In Australia, there's a real trend of people actually selling up and leaving permanently rather than taking the Winnebago for a few months of the year, you know, so they just follow the sun.
And they travel through various parts of Australia. You yourself were in a remote town that most of us here in the US have never heard about. Broome
in the far northwest. So our north is the tropics, like your south is the tropics. So it's all flipped upside down. But Broome's a town of about 15,000 people. But in the winter months, which is the dry season, which is the tourist season, the town goes from 15 to about 50,000 people. It increases massively. I suppose there's parts of Florida that are like that.
And Arizona and other places,
and all that stuff. So it's a seasonal tourist town. And the grey nomads, which are like the snowbirds, which travel in a big loop around Australia, and they go to the north in the winter and the south in the summer.
In your play, you really develop the relationships of two married couples. And one was sort of free-feeling, free-living, even came down the stage pretty much undressed.
Yeah. The nudity's actually been pulled back quite a lot, believe it or not.
Is that American standards versus Australian standards?
Well, it's Northern Australia standards, maybe, versus everyone else. Because Broome being so remote and being in the tropics, I don't know if you have this sort of idea of going tropo, they call it in Australia, where in the wet season when people are locked in and it's so hot, people kind of go a bit crazy, a bit cabin fever. There's just a more, we say, larrikin attitude in the north because people are a bit more lawless and a bit more free.
And then you had another couple who seem to have differences in terms of how to spend their retirement. The wife wanted to sort of stay put and enjoy her kids and her grandkids, and the man who had worked all many, many years just wanted to relax and go out on the beach and fish.
Yeah, a more traditional couple, I suppose. And I used to see them a lot in Broome as well. There'd be a very kind of excited husband with a wacky T-shirt on and knee-high socks and a big camera and a wife trailing behind, sort of looking like she's been dragged away, you know. And I found those couples really interesting too, and the way this man would try to get her to enjoy it. Because, look, for the characters in this, I was interested in the way in which, in a kind of traditional relationship, how sometimes where the wife has been the homemaker and mother and being at home, she's spent her life building and nurturing this family that then as soon as her husband retires, she has to leave behind. So everything she's kind of worked for, she has to leave. But for him, it's an adventure, and for her, it's a bit like being torn away. And that's the case with that more traditional couple in the play.
Do you think that this kind of situation that you presented, how the couples related to their married partner versus to the strangers, would work equally here in the United States, or if you put them in some other part of the world? Or is this a very Australian type of experience?
Well, that's a good question. I suppose we'll find out. But I think we have a lot in common as Australians and Americans. We're ex-British colonists. Well, we were convicts mostly, but
proud criminals now.
But we come from that kind of Western Anglo originally, before the first peoples of both countries, obviously. So we have that in common, and I think we both have baby boomers who are suddenly finding themselves older and who were part of the kind of first teenagers generation, you know, this generation that thought they'd never get old, perhaps. And that's something I've talked to my parents about and my parents' friends, because I'm the next generation on from them. So I think there's got to be some similarities between what Australian retirees are talking about doing with their retiring years and what American retirees are talking about.
But the difference here is going from one kind of environment to another, whereas Australia is a large continent. Yeah. It's one country on one gigantic island. And as they pointed out in the play, it would take a whole week for them to drive back to their hometown. And that's what it takes to drive across our country. And it sounded like they weren't even at one end to the other.
Well, that's partly because there's very little in the middle of Australia. So
it is desert, basically. It's
desert. The southeastern corner is the most sort of livable. We're kind of forced to circumnavigate this thing. And I think in America, people can drive across it and all over the place. Obviously, you've got desert, but not.
But we have mountains and we have plains. And we have many other kinds of ecosystems.
So even if we drive across the country, there's no great big interstate highways. And some of the roads are dirt roads, the main roads across the country. They're improving all the time, but there's not a lot of options. So it does take much longer. And there's no one in Australia compared to here. I mean,
it's a small population.
Yeah, we're slightly smaller in terms of land area than the US, but only a little bit. And we've got 23 million people. Western Australia, which is half the country, has about 1.5 million in total.
And because it's an island, you have a lot of beach.
Yeah.
And they were constantly referring to beach activities, whether or not it's going out and fishing or swimming.
Yeah.
Because it is so vast, there are a lot of beaches where you can just go out and be by yourself and be nude.
That's
Nobody
true.
Will see you.
That's true. And, you know, because I live in Broome part of the year as well. In the winter, my wife and I escape to Broome when it's warm. So we can try and avoid the winter forever, you sort of thing, which seems like a bit of a cheat. I, for the first time, went naked swimming on the beach up there because I've written this play about people doing that. And I thought, I've got to do it. And it is an extraordinary thing to be on a beach miles long and remote and be completely without anything man-made. It feels pretty vulnerable to me, but there's certainly, you can not see people for a long time, for a long time.
I also enjoyed your program notes because you have one whole page to help us understand some of your terminology because you're Australian and you wrote it in English, but with Australian English versus American English.
Yeah.
Give us some examples.
The headless chook is one. He says, I've been a bit of a headless chook about it, meaning he's been chaotic and silly because a headless chook runs around wild. So that's one. I hadn't realised just how much of our vernacular slang and stuff is so specific and different.
We could enjoy the play even if we didn't know what some of those specific terms meant because the actors were absolutely fantastic in presenting the characters. They were so expressive and your language and your interaction was so delightful to watch and listen to. It had a lot of interesting elements. So while you were dealing with some heavy issues, it was light at the same time.
Yeah, I think that sort of comedy put with heavy issues, I mean, that's the greatest opportunity to address stuff that's difficult as well. I mean, comedy goes hand in hand, doesn't it?
The Australian Theatre Company is actually based in Los Angeles, California.
Yeah.
Well, mostly of Australians, but you had your token American in the play.
Yeah. Well, initially, all four characters were Australian, but we thought we'd make one of them American, partly to open the casting opportunities up, because there's not a lot of Australian actors in their sort of 60s or 70s in LA that are still working or not so busy that you can get them. So there was that.
There's an expression about the country in Australia called the Outback. Mm-hmm. It's not an expression we use.
No. Out back just meaning literally out the back. I think because out the back of people's houses in Australia, at least when you're not in the cities, there's just nothing for hundreds of miles. So it just means it's any part of Australia that where there's nothing there, which is a lot of it.
What are some of the themes of your other plays?
Okay, so my first play was also set in Broome. I was living in Broome at the time. I went there to escape my life in Melbourne as a stand-up comedian.
You wanted to get out of the city.
I wanted to get out of the city, and I was drinking, and, you know, I went to get sober, to be honest. I left, and I went, like so many other people, go to the wild north to run away and hide. There's a lot of people who are running out there, a lot of fugitives, a lot of, like the Wild West
and
once
you,
was here.
You don't have grey hair. You're not one of the older people. You're young.
No, but I was getting old quick. So I ran away to Broome and I got involved in the community there. And I wrote a play set in the Sober Up Centre, which is the Indigenous sort of hostel for drunk Aboriginal people, and the prison there. So I spent a lot of time with people and I set it in that environment. So it's about the street alcoholics of Broome, and it's actually a comedy. It's not about my experience there, but it came out of my experience of getting sober in that town and trying to save everyone.
And the Indigenous people of Australia are called Aborigines, and like the Indigenous people in America, the Indians or the Native Americans, sadly, as they have become westernized, they have developed an alcoholic problem.
Yeah, exactly. And Aboriginal culture in Australia is so unbelievably different to anything that we know. Like, we have far more in common with, you know, China than we do with Aboriginal people. The culture, the Aboriginal nations in Australia were sort of in virtual isolation for 60,000 years. They didn't do a lot of trading, or they weren't seafaring, so they were very isolated in the cultures there, which are very complex, actually. Just as with Native Americans, had a lot of trouble. Even if people were treated fairly, it was still culturally very different.
Explain their relationship to the land, because they were able to travel distances across the desert and survive without even finding springs, but learning how to drink from the plants.
From the plants, but also finding water in the desert in ways that white explorers would die after, you know, getting slightly out of Melbourne, where Aboriginal people had travelled the continent and known. They have song lines, generally, and there's about 300 nations in Australia with separate languages. And they have song lines so they have kind of song and story that leads people from, that over centuries helps them find pathways through the country. The country is a myriad of song lines.
And they have a very sacred rock that's very famous.
Yeah.
When you see it. And there's a little controversy because they would not climb it and the Westerner wants to get to the top.
That's right. And
we're talking about
Uluru,
Ayers which
Rock.
Used to be called Ayers, right? Yeah. But now they use the Indigenous language.
Yeah. And you're not allowed to climb it anymore. Once upon a time, you were allowed to climb it. They had a rail people could go up, but you're not allowed to do that anymore. You know, we've got a terrible, terrible history, as you do here, and there's still enormous problems. So that was my first play, anyway. It was about that. And this is the opposite.
How would you describe Grey Nomad, then?
It's a farcical comedy about marriage and about aging and about technology. It's observational comedy. I mean, if it was a stand-up routine, it would be all that sort of observations of that group of people. It's a study of those particular retired white Australians. It's the antithesis to the first play I wrote, but they also coexist. Broome has a very diverse Indigenous culture, but it also has the white travelling people, and they all mix together.
It was wonderful to learn about this subculture of older folks getting in their RV. You even mentioned the need for maybe a solar panel on top. And traveling around their country, enjoying their country, looking at the sunrise, the sunset, at the beach, having the experience of nature to revitalize them as they live their retirement. And it was delightful. It was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much for bringing it to us.
No problem. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for being my guest. I have been speaking to Dan Lee, who is writer in residence at Red Stitch Actors Theatre in Melbourne, Australia, and playwright, author of Grey Nomad, currently at the Skylight Theatre in Los Angeles, produced by the Australian Theatre Company. We'll be back in a moment with more ecological issues.
Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman continues with further discussion of the world's critical ecological issues.